Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
We'll hear from D'Amico Ryan's here shortly, but the Cougars are making moves. They lost their defensive coordinator to Texas Tech. They've hired Austin Armstrong from Florida. They take the Florida defensive coordinator. He is a young guy. He doesn't have a lot of experience at that position. Florida was his third year. At least 2023 was his third year as a DC. He spent some time as a DC with Southern Miss in 21 and 22. Billy Napier hired him from the Golden Eagles. Now he is a Coug. The Cougs had a really good defense. A defense probably good enough to get them the 8 wins. If their offense was average, their offense was not average. Well documented, the two Big 12 games where they went scoreless. So Willie Fritz gets Connor Wegman to commit. He gets the now former Florida defensive coordinator. So the Cougs, in Willie Fritz's years, his second year, at least going into his second year, or at least getting prominent names. What they'll do as far as on the field, different story. But Wegman from A&M, Austin Armstrong from Florida.
It is interesting to lose your DC to Texas Tech and to take a DC from Florida. Just as they, like, where guys are going from and leave, or going from and coming to, it's just... Yeah, this is an interesting trade-off.
Yeah, it's a weird world. I mean, it happened years ago now where the Cougs were celebrating taking, at the time, a Power 4 coach when they were still Group of 5, when they grabbed Dana Holgorsen. Now they're on that level too, so it's not such a big deal, but the fact that Florida can lose their DC to the Cougs, surprising, unless this is one of those scenarios where Billy Napier's like, go ahead and find yourself a job. I'm not going to fire you yet, but you should be looking for a job, because Florida people weren't happy with him early in the year because they were bad early in the year. They got better and better as the year went on, and they were a team who was holding Ole Miss down. Not a big accomplishment to hold Florida State down, but wins over LSU and Ole Miss and Florida State changed the trajectory of Billy Napier's career, although he was already given the AD's
vote of confidence.
And normally that feels like, oh, he's about to get fired. But he turned it into a very successful back half of the year. Recruiting picked up because they were winning games and there's positivity there. Now he has to replace his DC because the Cougs have taken him. Armstrong was making $1.2 million with Florida. The numbers eventually will come out for what he's making with the Cougs. But you are a Power 4 school. And if you think you want to compete at that level, you got to pay guys. Maybe not top of the market money, but good money. Particularly if you're going to take them from an SEC school.
Yeah.
So there it is. Cougs get an SEC, former SEC quarterback, and they get a former SEC defensive coordinator. D'Amico Ryan's played in the SEC.
He sure did.
He did. At Alabama. D'Amico Ryan's now the head coach of the Texans. They're coming off a bye. And he has a very simple message about what this team needs to do to close out the year.
The one thing that we have to do, Kim, is finish. Right, we have to finish games the right way. We've been close in a lot of games. Games have turned out good for us and not so good. Right now, down the stretch, the most important part, it's all about how you finish. Right, it doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter what the score is, or how much or how less the score. It's all about how do you finish that game and finish it the right way with a win. That's the only thing that matters now. It's getting into December, January, it's meaningful playoff, really, football. And every game matters, right? The importance is heightened every single week. So you have to be, of course, be on the details, but it'll be about the team who finishes the right way. Those will be the teams that win.
I don't blame coaches for thinking that way because they have to go game by game, but I do think it matters what it looks like, because what it looks like against a bad opponent kind of tells everyone, and maybe even tells some of your guys, what you're capable of against a good opponent. Now, you enter every week thinking you have a chance to win, unless you're one of the worst teams in football. Then no matter what you say, everyone knows you don't think you can win. But playing one-score game, I use the example again. You played a one-score game against the Jags where you had to use your four-minute offense to close out that game. What did the Lions do against the Jags? And the Texans will tell you, hey, we competed against the Lions. You did. Except their quarterback threw five interceptions and they still found a way to win. So are you really that close to them? You can't expect that type of scenario to happen now. Of course, your quarterback threw a couple awful picks in the second half to even it up. But their point remains. They'll tell me we can compete with the Lions. You saw that game. They'll say, hey, we beat the Bills. We can compete with the best. And that'll give credence to what DeMeco Ryans is saying. In one-game situations, it doesn't matter what it looks like. You just got to go out there and win. I kind of differ. I think how you play overall will tell me how you're going to play in the games that matter most. Particularly when you don't have a rest advantage or the team that you're playing knows it's do or die and is as equally focused as you might be about the game. Because we can't predict how a team's going to approach a week of practice in a regular season game for whatever reasons. Maybe they had a tough game the week before. They're a little beat up. But when it comes to playoff time, we expect full focus from everyone. And do I think the Texans, the way they've played so far against the best teams of football, when everyone is locked in, are going to compete? I have no reason to believe that right now because of their recent run. You want to take me back to playing the Bills close? Am I going to, for a half, by the way, it wasn't even consistent then, but they beat them. They beat the Bills. Is that the team we see from week to week playing that well in that first half against the Bills? No, we don't. So, yes, win the games, survive in advance, cool. That plays well against the Jags, not that well against the Titans, but overall in the division, that's fine to win no matter what. But that's only a thing for me if you are acknowledging that you're not one of the best teams in football, you're not a contender. If you are the Bill O'Brien era Texans, then yeah, win the games no matter what. It's better to win than to lose. But if we're talking about starting this run with the Dolphins and playing the Chiefs and the Ravens and going into the playoffs hot and a real title contender, then it does matter how you play and how it looks. And it starts on Sunday. But yeah, win the game. At least do that. Don't lose.
That's a good starting point.
Yeah, losing is worse than winning ugly.
Yeah, for sure. I think DeMeco's like a week early on this message to resonate for me.
Yeah, beating the Ravens and the Chiefs, no matter how you do it, no matter how that looks, cool.
Cool.
I just don't think if
Dolphins is just on the level where it's like, before the week, you should be like, we want to play our best football and crush teams. Like, we just, the Dolphins, I don't need style points, but I would like.
You would like style
points. I would like just.
You'd like to be coming off a bye.
10-point win.
Against a team who might be playing two backup tackles. And as I talked about in the first hour, maybe their third and fifth tackles.
Yeah.
A defense who gave up big yardage to Devontae Adams and Garrett Wilson. Aaron Rodgers looked like, hey, you're still a pretty good quarterback. That defense, you hope, is not one who comes in here and locks you down.
Yeah.
Yes. Style points are really aesthetics for us. And, of course, in the heat of battle where you got to defend Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle with Eric Murray and others, however it happens, we just want to win. But I would like to see an uptick in performance.
Or, yeah, maybe it is just – I just want – I can live with a one-score game if it's – 31-24.
I'm telling you, if the
34-27.
If CJ lights it up, a one score game is going to feel better than if it's 20-17 and you need a break here and a break there and a Kyme Fairbairn field goal to win it.
Yeah.
It'll feel better if your quarterback. Then you go, okay, if our quarterback's playing like this, we got a shot against anyone. If not, and the Dolphins just screw it up more than you do, then we're in the scenario we've been in for the last couple weeks.
Yeah. If they're spiritually an AFC South team.
Yes. Can you show yourself to be a contender and not an AFC South team, please? That's what we should be looking for.
Yeah.
The thought was you were above this. You have shown that you're not right now.
Yeah.
That should change.
We really just need Shroud to shred them. That's
exactly.
All we really need, now that I think about it.
I said, if the play well, the quarterback gets back to shredding them, whole different vibe.
Yeah. Even at the expense of, even if it means that Tyreek Hill has a 55-yard touchdown.
Well, because we know the Texans give those up. I don't think that's going to be fixed. That's just who they are. What legitimately can be fixed, you think, is your quarterback getting back to 2023 levels. They have personnel issues that are going to, unfortunately, maybe some scheme issues, which are going to allow teams to get big plays on them, or at least be open for big plays. Whether the quarterback hits them, it's kind of luck at this point. When they hit, your defense looks really bad. And when they don't, you breathe a sigh of relief and go, "Woo! Thank God it's Mac Jones out there. Thank you, Trevor Lawrence. Appreciate it." It doesn't feel like the quarterbacks coming up are going to miss those.
No.
So I just go into games now thinking, all right, you're probably going to give up a couple of explosive plays. You're going to give up those plays where the secondary is looking at each other with their hands up going, what happened? It feels like that's going to happen, where one guy who gets beat is looking behind him and going, I thought I had safety help. And the safety goes, no, I had this guy. It feels like that is something we're just going to have to deal with, unless the bye week fix things. I'll ask you this because you were very negative on the possibility of Bobby Slowick fixing things in the bye. Which play caller do you feel is more likely to fix the big issues? DeMeco/Matt Burke or Bobby Slowick with the bye as help? Who got right during the bye?
It's tough.
You got to think. He's got more personnel issues than Bobby Slowick.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I have more question marks about the people actually on the field. You know, no Petrie. No Aziz Al-Shaair for three games. Eric Murray.
Jimmy Ward. You do have Lassiter and Stingley, and I'll give you some numbers about what they've done in coverage.
But the Jimmys and Joes on defense give me pause. Where really, on the offense, you're only worried about, I guess,
the X's and O's?
No, just in like two offensive line spots. Oh, if you want to be nice, be like, you could also go, but isn't that kind of your, that's the most coachable thing to at least get it to passable
scheme around?
I have more faith in D'Amico Ryans and even
with his personnel constraints.
I just have more faith in those guys.
Bobby Slowick taking L's all over the place.
D'Amico's proven to be a good DC for like what, 4 years?
How long was he the DC in San? Oh, you mean even his time here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm counting the two Texans years and what, two, it might only have been one Niners year, actually.
Yeah, I don't know if he was there very long as a DC, being Bobby Slowick, being
Robert Saleh's
a second in command.
Yeah, but I mean, we have a longer track record as opposed to Bobby Slowick has
two seasons, or one plus season, nearly getting good, one. Even last year, people took issue with
his
stuff last year.
Is it like 10 non-consecutive games? Over 2 years of good Bobby Slowickness?
Yes. There have been hits and misses even last year where he was supposed to be a hot hire, mostly because his quarterback exceeded expectations. I mean, if you get into the X's and O's, were they that impressive, or did the fact that his quarterback surprised everyone lead people to believe he was the next hot name?
Yeah.
So
I just don't have high hopes for him.
That's fair.
Old Bobby. Slowick.
Old Bobby. San Francisco.
It doesn't help those names, Bobby.
It's not. Nah, it doesn't lead you to believe that there's a lot going on as far as genius. San Francisco 49ers, D'Amico Ryans was there for 2 years. That's the DC.
Okay. So 4 years of being a good defensive play caller. Defensive play caller.
As long as the opposing quarterback's aim is off down the field.
If it works, it works, Del.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey, make that throw. We're forcing him to make the throw.
Not bad. Hey, I don't trust you. You're not a very good quarterback, so we're going to force you to throw the ball deep down the field to wide open receivers. See how it goes for you.
You won't believe how open they are.
Yeah, we're going to make you so wide. We're going to leave these guys so wide open. You're going to be so nervous. You're going
to
miss them.
Yeah, you're going to be trying to aim it instead of throw it. You know, we're in your head.
Yeah, I mean, of course, we'll let you dump a ball off 8 yards down the field to a wide open tight end. He runs for 60 yards. But hey, that happened once against the Titans, just once. Just the one time.
That was Chigakonkwo, right?
Well, there is a Jonnu Smith coming.
I know.
So
starting him in fantasy.
So not that much faith in D'Amico. Just more than you have in Bobby.
Someone's got to get these yards, you know.
That's true.
If I say it's a shootout.
Someone's got to have a good day.
Yeah.
And Jonnu Smith certainly had a good overtime after not catching the football against the Jets. So consistently on this show. Shootout, expected. Hopefully CJ matches or outplays Tua, and now we can go, look, our guy's back. Tua's a complicated guy to talk about for people. Playing one of the more productive quarterbacks in the league this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tua's in a tough spot where you don't really get credit for out-dueling Tua, but also he is good.
Yeah. It's all the priors from before Mike McDaniel got there. I mean, we will ignore the fact that all the crappy quarterbacks that backed up to have been terrible. But we just associate, hey, those quarterbacks suck.
Yeah. Skylar Thompson, please.
Teddy Bridgewater. There was a time where people were like, man, I'm glad they got Teddy Tyreek.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that thing?
I do remember that. Are they better off with just Teddy Bridgewater?
Remember that, that off-season thing where people were discussing, hey, I'm glad they got Teddy some weapons. Okay. Now Teddy's coaching Northwestern High School. Doing a pretty good job, actually. His team's blowing out teams in the playoffs. All right, we heard from D'Amico. A lot of talk this week is about how desperate the Dolphins are. Well, Joe Mixon says, what about us? So we will hear from the Texans running back when we come back. But first, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Aqueduct Plumbing Company is the place you go to if you have any problems with your plumbing. You got to understand, you don't know nothing about plumbing, even if you do. Even if you read a couple books, you're not better than the guys at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Check out what they have to offer. Just go to the website, aqueductplumbingcompany.com. And whether it be something small, like a leak, which can turn into a big thing, or maybe you need to replace something a little bit more difficult, like a water heater, or maybe you need your tankless water heater looked at. Hell, I think Lance is doing that today. He's having the guys come out there and check it out. They will do it all. They have a convenient little drop-down menu that shows you all the services they provide. Like, they'll help with the plumbing fixtures, rerouting, gas piping, new construction, remodeling. They do all of that. And if you need a repipe, they take care of that too. Repipes are important because if you got bad pipes, you're going to have bad, dirty, smelly water, and you don't want that to wash your dishes, take your showers, wash your hands. You don't want any of that. You want Aqueduct Plumbing to take care of that for you. You can call them at 281-488-6238, 281-488-6238, and they'll tell you what they can help you out with, or just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We normally have Michael Carroll coming up here, but he is on vacation. Well, he'd come up in the next segment, but he's on vacation. If you want to hear Comic Cast, you can every Wednesday. Well, currently every Wednesday from 8 to 9 here on ESPN 97.5. And, of course, you can listen to it wherever you find your podcast. So Michael Carroll on vacation. He'll be back in the building, I think, on Tuesday, and he'll join us next week. So we'll talk to him. So I don't get the enjoyment of watching him watch the Gorge live, the trailer for the Gorge live, while we do the show. That's unfortunate. Just want to see his reaction.
The Gorge.
I did take note that Brian McDonald, the co-host of Bullpen, and also the producer for the Killer Bees, is here. And then I was, oh yeah, Michael's probably not going to be here. Brian's walking around here at this time of day. So there it is. Michael, we'll talk to you next week. The Gorge. You still haven't watched the trailer.
No, I haven't. Do you want me to?
Nah.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? Next segment.
Just pull it up.
Would we be allowed to just play it? What are the rules there?
I think so.
We're going to do that.
Why wouldn't we?
I want you to have the sound on.
Okay. Up.
You will.
Is there any like?
There's no cursing.
Okay.
Open.
Yeah, we're good.
I'll look at it during the break to make sure. But you will have it up, part of our TV segment, and you can live react, like your Twitch streamer.
Yeah.
You guys can watch Sean watch the gorge.
Should I do the exaggerated?
Do whatever you need
to. Get up.
Do whatever you need to sell it. Okay. The gorge on Apple TV, Anya Taylor-Joy, and what's his name? Oh.
Miles Teller.
Sean's mom's most hated actor.
Yeah. Probably not most.
She doesn't get it, I think, is what it is. So we will do that as a tribute to what I've pretty much talked about all week and the fact that Michael Carroll can't do it because he's not here.
I mean, there's a chance he still doesn't watch it this next week until next Friday either.
Yeah.
There's a chance that I
haven't seen another promo for it since the trailer I watched. So it might not be widespread. He might not have seen it yet.
Yeah, that's the beauty of Apple.
They don't do a great job promoting their stuff.
Apple stuff.
They could have.
If it wasn't for you talking about it, I would not know about it.
Yeah, they could have an accomplished actress who's very well respected and Miles Teller. and still not promote it the way they should. That's just their model. Like, Jake Gyllenhaal can be in a TV show, and they barely told people about it, presumed innocent. So we can do that in the next segment. I did want to get to these numbers on the Texans DBs. While their nickel guys, their safeties aren't great in coverage, Kamari Lassiter and Derek Stingley are in the top three of catch rate allowed this season for DBs. This is from the 33rd team. You may want to take this with a grain of salt when I give you what they think about CJ Stroud. But Kamari Lassiter at 42%, number one, and Derek Stingley at 44.6% at number three. So top three and lowest catch rate allowed this year. Of course, those are numbers. Not quite sure how they do it. PFF is like that too. They have their own formula. But one thing they did put out there that you might not like if you're a Texans fan is where they rank C.J. Stroud. If you would guess, Sean, where do you think they rank C.J. Stroud this year as far as top quarterbacks in the league?
Probably outside the top 10. I'll go like 14th.
Lower.
16th.
Lower.
20th.
Lower.
Oh, my God. 24th?
22.
22.
They rank him as the 22nd best quarterback in all of football.
Whoa. Bottom 10 quarterbacks, CJ Stroud. Not actually bottom 10.
But. Other quarterbacks have started. But, yeah, that's where he lands in terms of how he's played this year.
Oof. What are some of the names ahead of him?
Let's see who you would disagree with. Just going off of this year, not projections of what we think
this year. 15 or so games that everyone's played.
Yes. Russell Wilson. Better or worse?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
They have him at 18th.
I'm okay. Wow. So he's played much better. Or at least considerably better.
Let me pull back. Let me shoot the 33rd team some bail. They actually have CJ at 21st.
Oh, then never mind. No problems. Yeah, I would probably have him above Russ, but I wonder how much of that is projection. And Russ is really driving he's driving this offense. Just keep it between the lines.
Don't just color outside the lines, Russ.
Stop at every stop sign.
Throw the moon ball.
Put your blinker on. Like, it is.
Follow the instructions. You're a student driver, Russ.
They're not letting him cook.
No, not at all. Just throw the ball down the field deep. We know you don't like throwing to the middle field. We won't do that. He may be without George Pickens this week, so that's not going to help against the Eagles. Let's go with another name you might take issue with.
Okay.
Drake May, above CJ Stroud.
Okay, guys. All right.
They have him one spot ahead of CJ Stroud, Drake May.
What are we doing?
This is based off of overall skill set and 2024 production. Drake May ahead of CJ Stroud.
Cool.
Kind of invalidate some things, right?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Although it is, I mean, it's 20 versus 21.
It's not a huge gap.
But still.
But still, he should not be ahead.
Yeah.
I don't care how poorly you think CJ Stroud is playing. I'm trying to think if you would find anyone else objectionable. Probably would, but most objectionable.
Yeah, there's. I mean, my first guess was like 14th, so yeah. I'd find seven objectionable.
Derek Carr.
Okay. What? What?
19th. So two spots ahead.
Drake May's played better than.
Not Jared according Carr. To the 33rd team, okay. Sean.
And overall skill set? Come on.
What are we doing?
Now I'm mad on Drake May's behalf.
Now you're defending Drake May. Who else is out there? They still have Cousins, considering what he's been like
the last couple weeks. What are we doing? He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in what, like 3 weeks?
They have him at 15th.
He's like 0-8 touchdown to interception ratio. Like, what?
So when you guys get upset with List, just realize
that they have Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins is 0-7, and that means touchdowns and interceptions over the last 3 weeks. He's thrown 7 over the last 3 weeks, thrown no touchdown passes, and they still have him 6 spots ahead of C.J. Stroud.
And, like, an above-average quarterback.
Yes.
Like, he is above 16th.
Exactly. So don't be bothered by things.
That's crazy.
You can't trust these guys are seeing or what they're thinking. Don't overreact.
That's offensive to me. That is
it is a bit offensive that Kirk Cousins, not only ahead of him, significantly ahead of him.
Half his fan base wants him benched.
Yeah, give him Michael Penix, and yet still, 33rd team. Kirk Cousins better. He's been awful. He's cost the Falcons 3 winnable games over the last 3 weeks,
Who
and they're still, they still have him ahead of him. Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
Well, he's above Herbert, who's 17th.
Oh, that, come on.
Bo Nix, who's played better than him this year at 20. They have Bo Nix behind CJ at 23.
That's, wow, what a list.
Yeah,
this is just a list of quarterbacks.
The top 5 is Allen, Jackson, Goff, Tua, and Burrow. Purdy's at 8, not the Purdy I saw yesterday. I guess that's going to change after this week. The Purdy I saw.
I mean, no, it's not going to change.
He's got to drop.
Ask Kirk Cousins if it's going to change.
He's currently ahead of Stafford. He's got to drop. He just lost a head-to-head. He's got to fall behind Stafford.
I don't know. Cousins lost head-to-head to Herbert.
And threw a pick 6 that gave the...
Through 4 interceptions and a pick 6.
Yeah, and still ahead of Herbert. So, list or list, guys. Take them or leave them.
What a 33rd team.
Good luck to the Jets, who just hired them to make all their hires.
Are you serious?
I think didn't we talk about that they were the consulting team they're going to use to... And I said, hey, Tannenbaum's just going to recommend himself for the job again. Yeah, they hired 33rd team to make or help them make hires.
Are they going to trade for Kirk Cousins, the 13th best quarterback in the league, according to their own list?
I mean, they should, because where they rank Aaron Rodgers is at 25. So
there we go.
They should.
You just improved 12 spots.
Yeah, because watching Kirk Cousins pee all over himself the last 4 weeks must be the thing. Maybe they're into that thing. Maybe they're into fetishes, and that's why they have him up there.
It's Mike Tannenbaum and R. Kelly.
Well, we know Rex likes feet. I don't know what Mike Tannenbaum likes, but if he likes Kirk Cousins, he's the one of the more recognizable names. He is not the person who made the list, but I'm blaming him for it anyway.
Yeah, sorry, Mike.
Guilty by association.
We know who you are. We don't know.
I don't know who Dan Pizzuta is, so you catch it, Mike. Kirk Cousins at 15. Egregious.
That's like, I'm incensed.
It is insulting to not just CJ.
It's insulting to me.
It's insulting to you. Watcher. It's insulting to nearly every quarterback on the list below him. Like, you want to put him ahead of Cooper Rush? Cool. Drew Lock? Cool. And Winston's turnover prone. Fine. But Stroud, Nix, even Rodgers. Okay. There it is. There's one more thing I did want to mention before we go. This Kelly K4 Ratings does this thing where they tell you what your record would be if all the one loss or the one score games were flipped. So we hear about D'Amico Ryan's talking about how it doesn't matter what it looks like, win the games. The Texans have been a lot of one score games. Oh, CJ talked about that, how they don't want to be a team who is on the 50-50 track when it comes to one loss or one score games. They want to be in higher echelon of winning those games, because that's what they were early in the year, going back to last year too. D'Amico Ryans and CJ, they were great in one score games leading up until this more recent stretch. But The Texans would be 6-7 if they flipped their one-score game. So they have still come out very much ahead on those. It's just a what-if NFL standings. The Denver Broncos would be 11-2 and have the best record in football if their one-score games got flipped.
Where would the Chiefs be?
They'd be 2-10. You knew the record would be awful.
2-10's probably worse than I thought.
Yeah, 2-10 would be the Chiefs record. They are the
imagine Mahomes throwing to Travis Hunter next year. We'd be having those conversations.
Exactly. Man, I can't believe they let Mahomes get Travis Hunter. That those memes would go off again because they did the same thing with Worthy. They're like, I can't believe the Bills let the Chiefs get Worthy.
He's like another Tyreek Hill out there.
Yeah, clearly. Watch him out there. So they would have the worst record in football if all their one-score games were reversed.
That's so funny. Yeah. That is like just the NFL in a nutshell. The best team in the league, or the team with
at least
the best record.
Record-wise, yeah.
Would actually be the worst team of the league if all the one-score games were
if
flipped.
What you consider 50-50 games went the opposite way.
And then, boom, that's why you watch. That's why you watch every Sunday.
That's why we're going to watch this Sunday. And watch and see if the Dolphins and the Texans play another one-score game. See how it goes. All right. We will come back with Sean watching the Gorge trailer. We'll play that, and Sean will give his live reaction of the Anya Taylor-Joy Miles Teller vehicle where they bond over killing monsters, possibly, if I go by what the trailer's telling me. So we'll do that as part of our What to Watch segment, because Michael Carroll's not here, but it doesn't mean we don't do what we do. So we'll get to that when we come back. But first, I want to tell you about Monument Chevrolet. I went out there a couple days ago, filmed some stuff for them that'll pop up on social media here maybe in the next week or so. And I got to take a look at the new Chevy Blazer. Beautiful car. And not only is it beautiful, the price is perfect too. And not just what you see when you go on the website. It'll be the price when you go out there. So if you check out the price of the Blazer at monumentchevrolet.com, it'll be the same price when you walk onto the dealership lot. They're not going to change it. There are no up fees. There are no hidden fees, no up charges. And they understand once you start talking about a deal, you want it to match up with what's in your head. So they're not going to trick you. That's important in the car buying process, that the vehicles are great and that the people dealing with you are great as well. That's what they want you to remember. They're going to make you part of their family. They've been in business for 50 years. And being in business for 50 years means you are doing a great job serving the community and giving them what they want. And that's their purpose. You get out there, you get the car you want, whether it be a Blazer, a Silverado, a Colorado, it's all out there. Maybe you want a Trax. Those vehicles are out there for you, and you can take a look. So if you want a new car, go to monumentchevrolet.com, or maybe you want something pre-owned. They have a great selection there. And if you're a business owner and you need something to add to your fleet, they have those out there too. Sixth largest fleet dealership in the country. So 3940 Pasadena Freeway off of Beltway 8 and 225 is where you go. And check out that inventory at monumentchevrolet.com. And if you're out there, you might meet William. He is their salesperson of the week. He is their top salesman, and maybe he's got the belt on for that. And he's a dog person. You can bond over dogs. And I bring that up because they want you to feel like your family. Talk about anything in the process of buying a car and while they're selling it to you. So check them out at monumentchevrolet.com. And remember, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN. 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
This will be a shorter segment. We went long, and normally we'd have Michael Carroll here to tell you what you should or shouldn't watch. He is the host of Comicast. He does that with Jong Lee. You can hear that on ESPN 975 at 8 on Wednesdays, and also anywhere you find a podcast. But he's not here. He's on vacation. So we're going to do something a little different where Sean is the new Michael Carroll. For a segment.
Hello.
That is how Michael introduces himself. Well played. Sean's going to watch The Gorge trailer. The Gorge is a Apple TV show or movie that'll have Anya Taylor-Joy, Furiosa, you might know her from that, or Queen's Gambit, the TV show from Netflix that popped off during the pandemic. Miles Teller, you would know him. You would know him probably more recently as Goose's son from Maverick, Top Gun Maverick. He's done other things. He's not appealing in the Mapes household, at least when it comes to Sean's mom. But he's got a big career. Now he's going to do some type of sci-fi monster slash romantic thing with Anya Taylor-Joy. So Sean's going to watch the trailer. He's going to keep the sound high enough for you to hear it, but not so much that it overpowers his reaction. And beware, Sean, there is a trailer before the trailer, which is awful.
I hate that.
It's stupid.
I might just rant about that the entire time.
Okay. So Sean will talk during it. And, of course, if he's silent, I'll talk about other things too. But, Sean, let's start
The
trailer for The Gorge, brought to you by Apple TV. There's the trailer before the trailer.
Which is so thanks for 5 seconds of trailering before 3 minutes of trailer.
Yes, Sigourney Weaver's in this as well, so big names all around. Okay.
I have new orders that require me to go dark for at least a year.
That's her questionable accent.
Yeah.
A special assignment in an undisclosed location.
As an elite sniper, are you presently under any private or military contract?
No. There's not a lot of reasons for me right now.
Very serious.
What if I gave you a reason?
My mom would not be a fan of the facial hair.
There she is.
It's questionable.
You're home for the next 365 days. There is no outside communication here.
So that's the premise. Isolation.
Yeah, they're both sent off to basically Siberia.
Pretty much.
So what's the mission? To keep people from going in the gorge?
No.
First mention of the name of the movie in the movie.
In the gorge.
From getting out.
From coming out.
Oh.
Yeah, you knew it.
That's a good premise.
Yeah.
That's a good premise.
The gorge is the door to hell.
Huh.
And we're standing guard at the gate.
See, I'm in at this point, but then they get into the, hey, look at each other from across the gorge.
Oh, there's candles.
Yeah. I thought we're just killing monsters.
She's perving on him, showering.
Mm-hmm.
Picking flowers. Oh, my God.
What are we doing?
Oh, my God.
This is what turned me off from the trailer.
Holding up a sign, what's your name?
No contact. Yeah.
Like, it's Love Actually.
This is what I'm saying. And it's coming out on Valentine's Day?
Yes. They're playing the chess. Oh, from her other movie.
What's the truth of the gorge?
The tie-ins all around. There's a moment where this movie and trailer changes. One of them somehow falls into the gorge.
February 14th.
The music suggests not just about killing monsters.
The world's most dangerous secret lies between them. Ziplining?
Is it their love? Is that the most dangerous secret? Because they can't talk to each other?
Yeah, the Miles Teller. Believe it or not, zipline gone wrong.
Yeah, she's the one who actually dives in to save him. And I believe you never see the monsters in the trailer.
No, which is, you know.
It's fine.
They win some points back for...
This place is evil.
You hear them, but you never see them.
Yeah. They win some points that they lost with the 5-second trailer before the trailer.
Yeah, so after listening, well, you watched it, people listened. After watching the trailer, Valentine's Day, what's the worst part of this particular premise for you right now? There's some good things I'm not going to deny. It was, like I said, it was appealing to me until I saw, hey, we're going to try to make this a romance. What's the worst part of it for you?
Yeah, the romance is the
worst
part.
It's dumb. It's very dumb.
If it was just them cocking guns for 3 minutes and, like, you got to keep the demons in hell from coming out.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah, but you're the most decorated sniper we have, but somehow you get sent to Siberia to stare at a hole. That'd be the, your country gave up on you.
Things like that. like disavowed, dishonorable discharge, whatever it might be.
This movie would be way cooler if they said the word disavowed.
Yeah, we if you,
no one can know you're here.
If you choose this,
yeah,
no one can know. And if something goes wrong, your family won't know what happened to you. Throw all that in.
It'll be a training accident.
I take that 30 seconds of exposition over them looking at each other from across the gorge.
Yeah, the looking at each other, it's like a different movie was cut and pasted into the middle of this trailer.
Definitely.
It was very, very out of place. This gets a maybe from me.
I'm all in. I want to see how they make all that work. As much as I hate the premise, they got me.
You cannot lie that you're intrigued.
I cannot lie.
At first they had your attention. Now,
no. Yeah. I don't want to exactly be compared to that particular character in
Why
the movie.
He's a great guy.
Complicated. Let's just say. Leo's character in that movie.
Great businessman.
Complicated. Well, the business.
Don't ask what his business was.
Yes. Yeah, let's not dig deep into what his business was. But yes, he was very profitable, Leo, in that movie. It's not, no, Art, it's not called Engorge. It's The Gorge. And it's a movie, not a show.
I mean, there is part of it.
Well, I guess they're trying to sell that aspect of it, too. But, yeah, The Gorge on Apple TV. Watch it or don't. Just know.
I'm at a maybe. It's hard for me to plan 2 months in advance whether I'm going to watch
it. I mean, it'll be on Apple TV. I'm not saying watch it on the day. I'm not saying watch it first day, but it will be on Apple TV until the streaming service, you know, evaporates.
Because they can't promote any of the things. Yeah.
So you can watch it at any point.
I do feel like this will not be the last mention of The Gorge on
Not a chance.
The Del LA show.
Not a chance. I think it's this show's new movie. We're gonna be we had a house
now that the Sony cinematic universe.
Speaking
is done
of your the universe you love.
Yeah, my superhero universe, yes,
is over, and its final installment not getting well reviewed. At last check, 9% for Kraven the Hunter.
Still early.
Yeah, some of the pictures of Rhino, not great.
Oh, see, I don't want it spoiled for me.
Well. The Rhino's in the trailer, but now people have still shots.
I don't really watch a trailer.
You just go in there blind?
I want to experience it with the other Kraven heads, you know?
I hope that is actually something people get called, Kraven heads. I hope you didn't make that up. I hope that's a thing out there in the world.
I just made it up.
I know you did, but I hope it's real. I hope somehow that thing that's reality.
There's a Reddit community.
That you are on. I don't know what you'd call yourself. Mapes Hunter 45, whatever, and you go in there and just talk about how Aaron Taylor Johnson's being misused in other vehicles, but in Kraven, perfect vehicle.
Yeah, him and Russell Crowe are believable as a father and son.
Sure. You look at those two and go, huh, I see the genes. And apparently he's in line to be the next James Bond as well. So, big times for Wanda Maximoff, his brother. He was in those Marvel movies too.
I'm interested if his best superhero movie will be Kick-Ass, or will Kraven knock it off the top perch?
According to reviews, no. He was Kick-Ass. I think there's a real shot because he's been in Marvel. Was he in Age of Ultron?
He was in Ultron.
I think Kick-Ass will be his best superhero movie, unless they bring him back in another Marvel movie.
Okay.
But at this point, Kick-Ass is his best superhero movie. Where a young hit girl was murdering people with like everything you could look, everything she could get her hands
on. It's also Nick Cage basically playing Batman.
Pretty much.
More or less playing Batman.
And then he came out and said he didn't like the movies because they gave the wrong message. And now he's back in the superhero genre with Spider-Noir. But hey, cash those checks, Nick Cage. I turned on a really bad Nick Cage movie yesterday called Season of the Witch, mostly because Claire Foy was in it. I was like, hey, you're from The Crown. I remember you from The Crown. It was back before she was really famous. It's terrible. Ron Perlman's in it, too. I'm going to finish it, though, but it's awful. All right, we got one more segment to go before we wrap it up. Gallant and George are up next with no George. It'll be Sean and Gallant taking you till 3. And then the Killer Bees without one of the Bees. But there is a different bee. Barry, I believe, will be with Joel, and I will join them at 4. They really want me to tell them how Tua's going to rip the Texans D apart, I think. We'll see. We'll see what I say at around 4 o'clock with the Killer Bees. One more segment here to go. We'll be back. I think. Actually, now that I look at Sean, we're going to stay. We're going to stay because we went long. I had him watch the Gorge trailer. Why not just hang out here? Because, you know, we're almost done anyway. We don't normally do predictions here because what does it matter what we think? I think we'll stick with it's a shootout with the Texans and the Dolphins. Who comes out ahead? Who's to say?
Yeah.
But
shootout, one possession game.
That feels like the vibes for these two teams in this situation where you got a desperate football team in the Dolphins. But not, they're not the only one. Joe Mixon, when asked about the desperation of the Dolphins, he was like, wait a minute. We want to get back on track, too. We don't like how we've played so far. Here's Joe Mixon on matching the Dolphins' desperation.
Put the bow on it. Let's put the bow on it. You know, I think these games is critical. It's also crucial that we approach the week 1 week at a time. You know, obviously we got a desperate team of Miami, but they're trying to go to the playoffs and make their run, but we desperate too. So, I mean, let's not lose track of, you know, what's really going on in terms of how we feel about the situation. You know what I'm saying? I think we just got to go out there and execute, and obviously that's the game. That's how we play the game. That's what you got to do.
We've heard a lot from the Texans about executing. It's been the thing that Bobby Slowick has said when asked about the lack of production in the second half of games. It's a very simple word to throw out there that kind of encompasses all when things are going poorly. Hey, if we just execute better, things will go great. But there's never really an answer about why you're not executing. Like, is it teaching? Is it the players aren't capable? Or are defenses operating at a point where you can't find an answer? We never get there. When we're talking about executing for the better part of a season, maybe it goes deeper than just running the plays right. You're either not capable play caller wise, or you're not capable with your players, which would be a shock when it comes to the offense. The offensive line, clearly an issue. But the skill positions you would say you got more than enough. So we'll see if they can execute on Sunday. If recent trends are any indication, no matter what happens, execution will be something that gets pointed to after the game. Yeah, we didn't execute. Okay. Are we going to get to a point where you can? We are now 13 games deep into the year. At some point, we got to talk about, hey, it's great to execute. It was great to execute today. Can we hear that after the game?
Man, we executed the hell out of this game.
Yeah, something like that. We've been hearing about lack of execution for over half the season now. Yeah, we just didn't do it. We just didn't execute. Okay. Switch that up.
Man, find something new.
Or, man, did you see us out there executing?
That's what it looks like.
The Dolphins had no answers for our execution.
Yeah, that's what it looks like when we execute.
That's right. 27-24, because no matter what we do, it's still a one-score game.
That's the excuse they're hiding behind is look around the NFL. It's all one-score games, which, yes, they're technically right. Can you also deliver that message after a game that isn't a one-score win against the Jacksonville Jaguars or a one-score loss against the Tennessee Titans? Like, maybe you should have saved that for after the Dolphins game.
Like, if you lose a tight game to a talented football team or win one, hey.
Like, the Bills win. Yeah. Hey, one-score game. Yeah. That's the NFL.
Yeah, as we said, we're done operating in the realm where we got to play tight games against AFC South. There should not be one-score games. Yeah. The Lions have an excuse for playing one-score games. They got the Packers and the Vikings in their division. What's your excuse?
Yeah, I mean, I think, okay, so first Colts game was one possession. First Jags game was one possession. Second Colts game was one possession.
All the AFC South games have been one possession.
Titans was one possession.
They've all been.
Yeah, oh my God.
I said, I think they're 4-1 with a point differential of +7 in the AFC South. They're all one-score games. The biggest margin of victory was actually the Titans when they won by 5.
I was going to say, that was the one where I was like, was that one possession? Because the other ones were all walk-off touchdowns, walk-off field. Not walk-off touchdowns,
or
but touchdowns.
4-minute drive in the game, like much like the Jags game was. So we'll see if execution is the issue on Sunday, or maybe they execute the hell out of it and they win. We're done for the day. Gallant and George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. But first, before we go, I want to talk to you about, or tell you about, MyBookie. You go to MyBookie.ag to maybe bet on the Texans' execution. You think they're gonna execute great? Put some money down on them. I think they might be in a two and a half point favorite right now. Maybe you think execution will be an issue. Maybe take the Dolphins side. I'm not telling you to, just saying you got an opportunity to make some money. And not just the Texans, the entire slate of the NFL is available for you on the site. And also, maybe you like the Rockets in the NBA Cup semifinals. You can bet on it there as well. From the NFL to the NBA to Army Navy, we got college football as well. I would say don't bet on the Heisman unless you don't want to win a lot of money on Travis Hunter, but you can do that too. It's all there for you at mybookie.ag because you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. And remember, use that promo code BET975 as well. Just go to mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,